hour number three on a Wednesday night here. High atop Television Hill, Sportsline on WBAL. Orioles right now not going quietly after falling behind 3-0 to the Minnesota Twins in Fort Myers. Now a 3-2 game in the top of the third inning. A RBI double by Quentin Berry got the Orioles on the board. And Chris Tillman, 2 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs. 1 of those runs was earned, no walks and 2 strikeouts. Talking some Ravens now, among other things, our friend Jeff Zrebeck, Ravens beat writer for The Sun. Jay-Z, how are you?
Good, Brett. How you doing? Welcome home.
Thank you. Good to be back. And that Dennis Pitta press conference today, what was the big thing you take away outside? I want to get into Ray Rice, Eugene Monroe, and Darryl Smith. Mm-hmm. But what was the big thing you take away from it?
Just Pitta perspective, just, you know, what we expected and you know, what we were gathering is that, you know, there was a lot of things Pitta, you know, wanted. But the most important thing for Dennis Pitta was just staying on the Ravens. And you know, he said he told his agent and he told the Ravens early in the process, this is what I want to do. Now let's work it out. And, you know, Pitta would have probably made more money on the open market, but he didn't really want to go anywhere. He has a good situation, and, you know, he's comfortable, and you know, he got paid well, too, don't get me wrong. But, you know, this was what both sides wanted, and when you have that far along and the team's interest level and the player, and that's the priority, then it usually works out, and that's why they were able to get the deal done.
How much do you think his relationship with Joe Flacco was a part of this? Is that too trite to say?
I don't think it's too trite to say, no. I mean, you know, it's very important for pass catchers and quarterbacks to have tight relationships. And these guys spend literally a lot of time together off the field. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not overblown. I mean, they're best friends. You know, you go out to dinner together every Friday night and go over each other's house and go, you know, have dinner after games. I mean, you know, he trusts Joe. You know, he wants to be on his side. And I think that definitely contributed, along with, you know, the fact that, you know, the Ravens are a winning organization and Pitta feels really comfortable here.
I talked to him about this today. I know this was brought up, I think, by you at the press conference about Gary Kubiak. Pitta referenced that tight ends tend to do very well statistically in his offense. Is that kind of what you gleaned from Pitta, that he was excited to be with Gary Kubiak?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the Houston Texans obviously struggled last year, but for the most part, everywhere Gary Kubiak's been, you know, I know he's only, you know, you're talking Denver and Houston, but I mean, every year they have pretty productive offenses. I mean, it's sort of, you know, and a lot of the times the tight end are a big part of it. So, you know, these guys know that. The Ravens have played the Houston Texans an awful lot over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. So, you know, they know how tough it was to prepare for the Texans. They know how, you know, Kubiak utilized his weapons. And you know, they want to be part of it, too. This is sort of a new era in offensive football for the Ravens. So it's going to have a different look. Playbook's just about getting done. You know, I suggest, Brett, when a lot of the roster moves are made and you know, we sort of figure out who's going to be where in free agency, you know, I think the transition of the offense under Gary Kubiak and his ability to make Joe Flacco better is going to be sort of the story all off-season training camp.
And where does this signing officially leave the Ravens with the cap situation now and in the next few years?
This signing, you know, this first year cap figure was a little over $3 million. So they're fine. I mean, this is, you know, John Harbaugh said he thinks it's the most cap room that they've had since 2008. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know where it ranks every year. Harbaugh's statement is accurate, but my point is I don't know where to compare it to years before John Harbaugh was here or anything. But they have plenty of cap room. I mean, you're looking at about $25 million right now under the cap. You know, a couple million, a little more than that will go to, you know, the exclusive rights free agents and the 2 restricted free agents, McClellan and Tandon Doss, if they decide to tender them. It's not impossible they'll let them go and try to get them back cheaper. So there's a couple million there, but the Ravens, when it's all said and done, will have, you know, significantly over $20 million to play with in free agency. And that gives them some options. That allows them to take some chances. That allows them to be kind of bid on one big ticket item or two, and that should make them pretty much a little more aggressive in the early parts of free agency than they've been in the past.
Fascinating. And also, I know John Harbaugh addressed Eugene Monroe and Daryl Smith a bit today, right?
Yeah. John Harbaugh said that they have aggressive offers out, to several of their own free agents that they like. Didn't mention names, but it's well documented that they've been talking to Monroe and Smith. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Monroe is going to happen here. I mean, I'm not saying they can't sign him on free agency, but no signs that they've been able to bridge the gap at all. Eugene Monroe, barring the Ravens coming in with a wow offer in the last minute, he seems set and, to hit free agency. Smith, I don't think that's definite. I think there's a chance they could get a deal done before Tuesday when Smith hits the open market. I mean, they're sort of at different stages of their career at this point. This is Eugene Monroe's opportunity. This is his opportunity for his big deal. He sees how many teams need tackles, and he knows the market for them. So Eugene Monroe is going to get paid and an awful lot of money, and you can't really blame him for wanting to see what's out there. He was on a very bad Jacksonville team that he sort of no choice to be on because he was drafted by them. This is his one chance to sort of pick his employer and sign for whatever is the top dollar and whatever he views the most important. But he's going to have a lot of suitors, and I just don't see the Ravens winning a bidding war. I mean, the Ravens, look, it would be a blow. Let's make no mistake about that. They trade a fourth or fifth round pick, and they may wind up keeping the guy for, only three quarters of a football season. That's not good, especially when you consider that, last year's season they didn't make the playoffs, and this is a great draft where, there's a lot of value on fourth and fifth round picks. But look, they're not going to whine and complain about it. There's other tackles out there that they'll turn to, and they'll move on. They're not going to sit there, crying about the fact that Eugene Monroe is not giving them a hometown discount.
And also, they're not going to overspend what they think he's worth, and they're very disciplined like that, unlike other teams. They are very disciplined.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, they're going to put a price on them, and they may go a little over the price if it means getting a deal done, but they're not going to go a whole lot over it. So if Eugene Monroe thinks he can get $10 million on the open market, even probably $9 million, $9 million a year, so long. I don't think they're going to lose any sleep over it. They want the guy. They want him on the team. They hope that him being around the environment, getting to know the players and coaches, his wife's from Columbia, they hoped all those factors would lead towards him re-signing. But it seems like at this point, Eugene Monroe is, intent on going on the free agent market, and the Ravens aren't going to, the Ravens will stay in contact, still try to get a deal done, but they're not going to keep chasing them. If it's clear to them that, there's no way they're going to be able to bridge the gap with the agent, they'll move on to somebody else.
And final thing, Jeff, the Ray Rice situation was addressed a little bit today by John Harbaugh. What did you take away from that?
No real changes on there, and just they're going to continue to stick by him. I mean, it's always, I don't think anything's going to change unless a certain video of the incident comes out, or maybe the charges are addressed. And right now they're still reviewing that, and Ray Rice is obviously trying to make this better. I mean, he's been, team counseling and doing all that. Now John Harbaugh says him and his fiance Jhené Palmer are going to a counseling, a couple seminar, sort of a week long thing, to work on their relationship. All positive steps for somebody who made a big mistake. He's obviously trying to, improve his situation, rectify it, change some things. So you give him credit for that, as ugly as this incident was. So, we'll see what happens. But, right now, Ray Rice is probably doing the appropriate stuff, Brett. He shut his mouth. He's gone about his business, and he's trying to fix his relationship and get help for the issues that he had.
Jeff Zarebek, Ravens beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, and Jay-Z, I can report back to you that your colleague and friend Peter Schmuck did work when I was in Sarasota for a few weeks. He was working
on what? His tan, his waistline, what?
All and none of the above.
Yeah. Well, I told you to keep him in line, and I'm glad you did that for me. I appreciate that.
Anything I can do to help you, Jeff. Jeff Zarebek, Ravens beat writer for the Sun. We'll come back with more next.